Chris Horn is with us tonight for the TechSideline.com/Saber.com recruiting report here on the Mike Harris Tech Beat. Before we get to that, you know, hey, another Saturday come and gone. Two more UCrofts visits, signing books. No Chris Horn. You're killing me.
Sorry about that, but I will offer my congratulations on your recent achievement. Congratulations, Mike.
I appreciate that very much, Chris. I'm looking forward to it. And even from the big chair, I'm looking forward to continuing my association with great people like you.
Well, thank you very much for that, and appreciate you becoming an editor. That way I could dodge the failing to show at UCrofts once again. So
yeah.
I appreciate that as well.
You were number one on my list Monday, but when they called me in and said, hey, we're going to get this done, I forgot all about you for a few minutes. So you're absolutely off the hook.
Very good, very good.
Hey, you know, a couple times, even when it was just the TechSideline.com recruiting report, and this was the Tech Beat, a couple of times a year we'd catch up with the Wahoos because the recruiting at Virginia is so intertwined with the recruiting at Virginia Tech.
Right, right.
That there's some cross-interest, and I was thinking about making that what we did tonight anyway, and what a perfect time. We've talked so much about Tech's recruiting class and the numbers in Tech's recruiting class that it's kind of obscured what Virginia's done, but if I'm reading your reports right, because you mm-hmm. cover it for both sites, and my colleague Jeff White and some of the other stuff I've seen, the numbers may not be the same, but would you say Virginia's off to a pretty good start too?
Yeah, exactly. I think you know both schools have done a really good job so far in this year's class, and obviously Virginia Tech's got 23, so they've got a little bit more. But Virginia's got 19 verbal commitments, and three of those are actually holdovers from the 2006 class who did not qualify and are now at Hargrave Military Academy for a year, but they've all affirmed that they are planning on signing again with Virginia in February. So Virginia does have 19 commitments, and they're doing a really good job, too. Both teams, I think, are doing a really good job in terms of filling needs as well as getting really quality talent in those particular positions. And you look at Virginia, linebacker is always a need in the 3-4, in addition to upgrading the athleticism and speed, and I think Virginia has done that with some of the linebackers that they've been able to land. Two in particular in state. One is Ja'Courtney Williams, who's a 6'3", 220-pound. He's playing middle linebacker, actually, for Coach Homer at Christ Church School. But he could play a number of positions for Virginia. I know they've even said something about safety just because of his athleticism. But he certainly stands out in that fact. I know Virginia and Virginia Tech offered him. He committed early to Virginia, and he had about 7 or 8 more offers, I believe. And then there's Terrence Fells Danzer, who's a 6'1½", 220-pound linebacker out of Culpeper High School. And he's one of those kids that brings a lot of athleticism and speed to the table, and which is something that UVA is certainly looking to upgrade. And Fells Danzer is another kid who was offered as well by Virginia Tech, which certainly helps in that regard, just kind of the added extra thing once you land a kid like that. And Virginia, like I said, Peter Lalek, who's a top quarterback out of West Springfield High School in Virginia, he's 6'5", 225 pounds. He's performed outstanding this year. A lot of his games, he's thrown for a lot of touchdowns and not too many, very few interceptions actually this year. He did have one bad game where he threw 5, and that was certainly a bad game. But other than that, it's really been pretty much no interceptions through about 6 games. And really just had a great offseason, performed well at the All-American Junior Combine in San Antonio in early January. Actually, he was named first-team All-Combine, I believe, for that. He's got a strong arm and fits Virginia's offense very well just in terms of being that pocket passer. So each program, Virginia Tech's got Tyrod Taylor and Virginia's got Peter Lalek. And then Virginia's got playmakers kind of all over the place. And you look at nose tackle, they have Nick Jenkins, who's a 6'3", 285-pound, really, really tough, and he's athletic as well, nose tackle, out of Good Counsel High School in Maryland. And so Virginia's been able to pick up a lot of talent in state. Both teams have really done well, both Virginia and Virginia Tech, in the state of Virginia, and they've both taken care of business and kind of erased last year's situation where there were a lot of kids that went out of state. So both in-state schools have rebounded in that respect, and they've also landed some top talent from out of the state of Virginia as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say, as I go down the list, as you're talking and you mentioned, I see a lot more Virginia than I did before, and mm-hmm. we've talked about that with Virginia Tech reversing the trend. Virginia obviously has as well.
Right.
Now, I remember talking to you last year late about the juniors, and Lalich and Tyrod Taylor came up, and we almost mm-hmm. we almost came out and declared it. We kind of danced around it, but it seemed like everybody knew then that Lalich was a Virginia guy and Tyrod was probably going to go to Virginia Tech. And
right.
The thing I've heard is that, you know, the Virginia Tech people are thinking they have their next Michael Vick, and the Virginia people are thinking they have their next Matt Schaub.
Right.
And those proved true. They both got pretty good quarterbacks. Lalich is, you know, 6'5", 230, and he's not slow. I see you've got him listed 4.7. You know, that's not tailback speed, but that's not slug speed either. That's pretty good.
That's not bad. In the past couple of games, I've seen that he's had a few carries for about 30 yards in each game, which is, like you said, it's not much. It's not like what Tyrod's able to do out there in terms of, you know, like 150 yards passing and 100 yards rushing. But he can run when he needs to, and he actually played wide receiver earlier in his career for West Springfield. So that's kind of a testament to his athleticism. And as you mentioned, that's a good point. The difference, I guess, between the two is that Virginia did offer Tyrod Taylor, whereas Virginia Tech really put all their eggs in the Tyrod Taylor basket, which proved to be a really good move, obviously, because I think that was a pretty big reason why he chose Virginia Tech. Peter really seems like, as you mentioned, kind of fits Virginia's mold in terms of that Matt Schaub type, whereas Virginia Tech, you know, traditionally likes that dual threat quarterback, a quarterback who can make plays through the air and can make plays with his legs as well, which is certainly what Taylor brings to the table.
Now, I notice they've got a rank, and I assume the Saber rank is the same thing you do, and on the other side, it's the TSL rank. It's the same thing.
Right.
Okay, so they've done pretty well, obviously, Tyrod being number one, but according to your rankings, Virginia already has 2, 4, and 5, and Lalich, Ja'Courtney Williams, who you mentioned is now at Christchurch, and Terrence Fells-Danzler of Culpepper, four-star recruits, all of them, and, you know, three of the top five, even if they don't, and number three is the receiver we've talked about.
Right.
Holy moly, from the 757, it's going to come to me. What's the guy's name?
Jay Smith?
Yeah, him. He's number three, so whichever side lands him will probably win the battle of the top fives. Is either school got a shot at him?
Actually, Virginia Tech's got a pretty good shot with Jay. He's going to he actually played for Kempsville his first 3 years and transferred to Lake Taylor this year. He's going to take an official visit to Virginia Tech this weekend, actually confirmed that through his father via email earlier today. So that is still on, and assuming that goes to plan. I've kind of said over the past few months that I really think it's going to come down to Virginia Tech and NC State. NC State is a program where his dad went to school, and Jay really grew up around that program, has been to the camp numerous times, kind of was even there with, like, Torrey Holt, I believe. He's even spoken with Torrey Holt and some of the great NC State receivers over time. So NC State's definitely in the mix, but I know he really likes Virginia Tech as well, and is going to take that official visit there this weekend, at least hopefully. I know he had another date set up earlier for, I believe it was the Georgia Tech weekend, so he and Tyrod could make that visit together, and ended up canceling that. But Jay seems intent on making it, at least right now. And, you know, I think Virginia Tech certainly has a good chance with him.
Now, Chris, we talked about how well Virginia's doing in-state and locally, too. I know Virginia Tech has more kids locally than in past years. I think it's been 3 in the past 2 years and 4 already this year. Chris Byrd from Metoaka, 3-star recruit, ranked 21st in your list, is among the Virginia commits. What's he like?
He's a very, very solid player. Chris earned offers from Virginia and Maryland, as well as U of R. So he's a very good he's a playmaker, certainly for Metoaka High School. He really has done a lot this year, both on offense and defense. At wide receiver, he's kind of their big play guy. Makes a lot of big plays. He's kind of known more for his overall athleticism as opposed to maybe just being a pure speed runner. But he does have the speed to make big plays. But he's really known for his jumping ability and his hands and kind of the way he runs routes. And he's just kind of one of those guys that is able to get open, and he kind of just gets the job done in that respect. And he plays free safety on defense, and really in the last game against Thomas Dale had about 11 tackles and 3 pass deflections, which really helped Metoaka in that 24-6 win. But a very good get. Virginia had a chance to see him up close at the camp earlier this summer. They had actually offered him before that, but I think they really picked up their recruitment of him after his camp performance there, and just getting a chance to see what he could do. So he's a very, very good prospect, a solid prospect. Have him rated about in the mid 25th, I believe, in the state, and just you know, a good solid get for Virginia. He's a character guy as well as a good kid. He's a good student. So a quality addition for the Hoos.
Well, of course, I've mentioned Virginia Tech with four from the Richmond area. Mr. Bird, the only one from the Richmond area thus far on the list. But lots and lots of guys. They're hitting, you know, they're hitting the smaller. Fredericksburg, Danville, Gloucester, Metoaka. They're not going to the main metro areas, although most of those are close by. Roz I. Dowling, an athlete, 6'2", from Chesapeake, might go on the all-name list. You know, I like to find the best name of the year recruiting, and now we're talking about Virginia and Virginia Tech in the future on the show. I'll have two teams to pick from. But tell me a little bit about him besides the fact that he has a – and here's what I like. It has UVA commit zero on there. Is he committed or not?
He actually committed. He signed in the 2002 class, and so with the signees – I guess they kind of get that zero. It's always interesting to kind of where to slot them exactly. But Rasa is a player who really kind of exploded this year at Hargrave. He played for Deep Creek High School last year as a senior, and his athleticism stood out. He missed some games though due to injury, not the whole season by any means, but he missed a few games here and there, and just due to a slight knee injury, I believe. So yeah, I don't know if really anybody had a chance to see just what kind of an athlete he was. I know he stood out to me when I had a chance to see him at the Chesapeake Combine last year, when I was kind of standing around and I just saw out of the corner of my eye that somebody do a phenomenal jump, and he's got about a 42-inch vertical leap that he boasts. So I thought then that he certainly had the athleticism, and if he had the speed, he'd just be a heck of an athlete. I believe at Tech Camp that summer, I believe he did run in the 4.4s and the 40. Once he got to Hargrave, though, he was kind of rated a two-star prospect coming out of Deep Creek. Once he got to Hargrave, Coach Prunty really just raved about him on the Hargrave football media day there for the postgraduates, and I just really loved his potential at safety. And he's actually played cornerback throughout the whole year for Hargrave. And it just really has opened a lot of eyes, especially on that Hargrave staff, with his speed, with his athleticism, and really proving to be a really a good get for the Virginia staff. He's a kid who I think could play with his frame. He's 6'2", 185, could play either safety or corner for Virginia, which brings a lot of versatility to the table and just brings some more, like I mentioned earlier, kind of some speed and athleticism, kind of upgrading in those areas.
These guys like going head-to-head, Virginia Tech. Guys who are out there now, of course, you know, with 19 in one class and 23 in the other, not a lot out there for either one. We've talked about Virginia Tech going anywhere from 25 to 30 and, you know, several gray shirts, and, of course, a couple won't qualify. Mm-hmm. Virginia had that massive didn't-qualify problem that received much attention with eight of the 24. So I would suspect they're going to be a little weary of farming out, so to speak, big numbers. How big do you think that class will end up, Chris? And do you get the sense that this class will be better represented in actual enrollment?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And as you mentioned, I mean, it's a pretty big hit losing 8 out of 24 signees, and some certainly pretty talented kids as well. Just you talk about George Johnson out of New Jersey, who would have helped. He was a 6'5", 225-pound kind of outside linebacker who would have brought a lot of speed to that position.
Is that the young man who's now at Rutgers?
Exactly. He's now enrolled at Rutgers. And he did qualify per NCAA standards, but just did not get in via through the UVA admissions. And but, you know, this year, throughout the class, there's, you know, most of the class really are good students, and they are actually, most of them are probably pretty much set right now at this point. So you've just in covering that, you can see that there's an upgrade, and I'm sure that partly is on purpose, is considering what happened last year, but they're also getting really talented players as well. So but as I mentioned, just in scanning it, you can see that a lot of these kids certainly are already in a position to be accepted by UVA admissions, and if not, don't have far to go at all to be able to make that, and should easily make it. So Virginia's done a good job of kind of stepping up in that regard this year, just in terms of what, you know, what they need to bring and what they need to be able to keep there. And hopefully, just in terms of Virginia's class, the three kids that are at Hargrave right now, Ross I. Dowling, Billy Cuffey, who's also out of Deep Creek, and Armando Sewell, who's out of New Jersey. Those are three big recruits, and if they can keep those, that would kind of at least probably, you know, help soften the blow from what happened losing those 8 out of 24. So it would only be, I guess, turn out to be about 5 out of 24. So But there certainly has been a marked improvement just in terms of the overall academics of this year's class as compared to this last year's class and even past classes before.
Hey, before we go to the head-to-head, there's one other thing I wanted to ask you, because I know we've discussed when it's been exclusively a tech content, how the great numbers already helped get a leg up on 08, and Virginia Tech has two in the 08 class. Any 08 for Virginia yet?
Yes, actually, they have an offensive lineman out of Ohio named Matt Mihalik, who went to Virginia's camp, and Virginia offered him the first day that you can be offered, and he accepted on that day, and he's a big kid. He's athletic. He's kind of a I believe he's about 6'7", maybe close to closer to that 6'8", about 270 pounds or so, and just a very good athlete for his team. I know he goes to a private school, and he's certainly the best athlete on the team, and he's very good get so far. I know when I talked to him, I know he mentioned he was committed, and but at the same time, we'll see what happens when some other schools start coming into the mix, such as like Ohio State and some of those types of schools. But he really liked what he saw at Virginia over the summer, and that's kind of really what prompted him to go ahead and commit once Coach Groh offered him over the phone on September 1st, which is the day that you can really first extend official offers to junior recruits.
Now, in the remaining few moments we have and in the remaining few slots these schools have open, are there any significant head-to-heads that we need to watch out for over the coming months between now and whatever that first Wednesday in February is when they can sign on the old dotted line?
And I'd say the one that stands out right now is Corey Mosley out of Henrico High School. He's 5'9", about 190 pounds or so, and he plays kind of running back, wide receiver, I think, on offense, and then he plays safety on defense. He's a player that I know I heard during the summer that Virginia Tech really likes him a lot. Virginia really likes him a lot. He's got offer from both of those schools as well as Tennessee. I spoke to him actually very recently, and he said his top two schools are Virginia and Virginia Tech. He's been to Virginia a whole lot more. It's closer. He's been able to go to a lot of games. He's been to some practices, so he's been around the program a lot. So I think he feels a little bit more comfortable with Virginia at this point. He's been to Virginia Tech at least once for the camp earlier this summer, but he hasn't visited to Virginia Tech nearly as much as he has Virginia. But I know Virginia Tech certainly is keeping in close contact with him. He's set an official visit to Virginia Tech on the first weekend of December and one to Virginia the following weekend. And he's hoping to get up to Virginia Tech for a game just to be able to check it out as well. But, I may give Virginia the edge right now just because of, the comfort level that he has. I know he's close with his primary recruiter, Mike Groh, and he's close with some players up there, Jameel Sewell and Jeffrey Fitzgerald out of Hermitage. But at the same time with Virginia Tech, if they can just get him up for an unofficial visit, it certainly wouldn't surprise me at all to see them be pretty strong in here, because I know he's got a good relationship with Coach Kavanaugh, and he's spoken to Coach Beamer a few times as well. So this is probably going to be the last remaining kind of in-state battle, in my opinion.
All right. Well, Chris, it's been insightful as always, and in the coming weeks on Mike Harris's Sports Beat, we'll utilize the techsideline.com/saber.com recruiting to keep us up to date on both schools, because you certainly do that as part of your job and do it well, and I'm glad we'll be able to tap resources on both sides of your brain.
Thanks, Mike, and congratulations again.
All right. I appreciate it very much, Chris. Chris Horn with the techsideline.com/thesaber.com recruiting report. And since we are now an all-sports show here on the Mike Harris's Sports Beat, I have no problem telling everybody that it's 1-0 Mets in the bottom of the first. Cards had the bases loaded and couldn't score. What, you got something to say? I know that.
You should have a problem saying that.
Yeah, well, I do have a problem saying that. Everybody knows the team I like the best in Major League Baseball is the Nationals. I don't think we're going to see them in this kind of situation anytime soon. One of my very best friends, who's also a big Hokie, Steve Wade of Charlotte, North Carolina, is a huge Cardinals fan. And we went in April to see the Nationals play the Cardinals four times. Of course, the Cardinals won three of them. But I bought a Cardinals hat to wear during the playoffs. Got to have always had a team to pull for in the Major League Baseball playoffs. And it ain't the Mets, but, hey, what the heck. John Marcon, my colleague, is leaving tomorrow to go cover the series. I'm real excited about what we're going to be able to do with that. You know, these late games starting, all these made-for-TV games kind of hurt the traditional newspaper. But now that we have the great resource of TimesDispatch.com, we'll be able to take advantage. So John will be filing late columns on TimesDispatch.com and regular columns for the newspaper. So you will be able to see John online and in print. Real excited to see Detroit get in there because there's a lot of local angles for us there with Justin Verlander and Brandon Inge and Sean Casey. We cover a lot of bases, Goochland County and VCU and UR. So John will be up there touching base with the Tigers and either the Mets and the Cardinals. Now, we got to get to a break, but I tell you, we got a call. We'll take a call real quick, and then we will take a break and come back with Tim Doherty. But you tell me, Bill? Bill, welcome to Mike Harris's Sports Beat.
Yes, Mike, good to talk with you, and Kurt, congratulations on your promotion.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that more than you'll know. It's like I say, it's been an exciting week.
Yes, I'm sure it has. I've tried to get through with the other fella on there, and I've kept dialing the wrong numbers. But
you sound like me. I do that all the time.
Yeah, you know, a senior citizen has this problem from time to time. What do you know about this fella Hill from Highland Springs and Jackson from Verona? Do you have any insight as to where they may be going, this, that, and other thing?
I do not, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to file that away, and that'll be the first question we ask Chris Horn next week. I know the young man from Verona is big time on Tech's target. I've seen him over at Tech. I don't know how Tech fares. Verona also had a young man, and it may be him, go visit Syracuse and is very interested in Syracuse. Don't know if it's the same guy, but next week we will ask Chris Horn that very question and get an update on those two young men. Wish you'd been able to get through when he was on, but, yeah. You know, I'm glad you got through.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.